Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, two well-known celebrities, neither of whom is associated with Broadway, have been performing there for a few months. Bruce Springsteen, who many of us have seen in huge arenas, decided to present what one might call an intimate musical memoir. I heard he got the idea when he had appeared at a New Yorker festival discussion and read parts of his autobiography aloud. The rapt silence and appropriate laughter in the room sparked the idea of a longer version of bringing his book to theatrical life. The show at the Walter Kerr Theater sold out moments after it was announced. 4 months have been added, and they have essentially sold out. But there is a lottery system, and tickets can be had for a price. Now, more on the show in a moment. Meanwhile, the film actress Uma Thurman is having a much more difficult time filling seats, despite a huge advertising campaign for her starring role in The Parisian Woman. Almost as promoted as her presence is the name of the writer of the comedy drama, Bo Willimon, who is known primarily for having created House of Cards on Netflix. The fact that this new play also takes place in Washington, D.C. made it seem like a sure bet. Well, we thought Hillary was a sure bet, too. Playing at the newly renovated Hudson Theater on West 44th, The Parisian Woman is Willimon's take on an earlier work of some sort. It doesn't really matter. The title is confusing and rather beside the point. It runs 90 minutes, feels longer, of course, and deals with five characters. They include Chloe, played by Thurman, a rather dilettantish but clever wife of a lawyer and now potential judge, played by Josh Lucas. Blair Brown portrays D.C. power hostess and, more importantly, the future head of the Fed. Can't remember her character's name. Her daughter, played by Philippa Sue, is an ambitious lawyer, and Martin Sokas is a pompous banker having an affair with Thurman's character. So is someone else we learn, but why ruin the little fun in this production by telling you who it is and why? Suffice to say, The Parisian Woman is no House of Cards, and if I were a clever, unknown playwright out there, I'd be downright annoyed that a half-baked piece like this gets on a Broadway stage, based on the writer's success in a different medium. Willimon did write another play several years back about the nation's capital called Farragut North. It was also mediocre and became a forgettable movie starring George Clooney, but at least that one was off-Broadway, and Willimon's was then a new voice finding itself. One of the riskiest problems with this play, as it stands this minute, is all the obvious references to the current White House, what one character calls a demolition derby. Such references abound. If tweeting is good enough for the president, it's good enough for me. Public opinion doesn't matter anymore. With this president, anything is fair game. You know, he only listens to the last person he talks to. Well, you get the point here. The audience snickers politely, but even infrequent theater visitors get that this doesn't feel like new and exciting drama on stage. What happens next year or in another production when the current president is either gone or in the middle of something like impeachment proceedings? But most problematic for me is the Parisian Woman herself. Uma Thurman has been fine on films, but she's just not a great or even particularly good stage actress, at least not yet. Hey, either was Julianne Moore or Julia Roberts. For a character who apparently makes men and women fall over themselves, we need a much more nuanced and charismatic performer to make this one work. Well, we all know that Bruce Springsteen has plenty of charisma and has for some four decades, but who knew he could sort of act, too? And no, he's not playing other people in his life, as often happens in one-man or woman pieces, but he is talking as much, if not more, than he is singing in Springsteen on Broadway. Here we have Bruce, guitar in hand, or sitting at the keyboards, taking us through the life of a boy who, as he says, comes from a boardwalk town. He hated school. Well, he says, if you don't hate school, you're going nowhere. And he reminds us, I've never worked a five-day-a-week job until now. Springsteen is funny at times, especially about his adventures on the road. He is also exceedingly touching, as when he recounts his meeting, hiring, and ultimately losing, as in dying, his beloved saxophone player Clarence Clemons. He is authentic and self-effacing. I've never held an honest job and never been inside a factory, and yet that's all I write about, he laughs. He talks lovingly about his parents and the childhood home and life in Asbury Park that he could hardly wait to escape. Who knew, he says, that he'd end up about a block from there all these years later. In fact, there is a beautifully crafted arc to this piece about home and our boundless ties to wherever that may have been. Springsteen discusses the night he first saw Patti Schiaffa at a small club and fell in love instantly. And she is the only one he brings on stage to join him on two numbers. Otherwise, it is just Bruce for a bit over an intermission-free 2 hours, a mere smidgen of the 4.5-hour concerts he usually performs, but a perfect length for a Broadway production. Is it an actual production, you might ask? Well, there is a set of sorts behind him, and we do learn a lot about the singer-songwriter's life. I was especially moved by his tale of meeting Vietnam veteran Ron Kovic and how he then wrote what he calls a protest song about the vets' treatment once they came home. And then he reminds us how politicians like Ronald Reagan in 1984 occasionally used that song, Born in the USA, as a theme, chosen for its patriotic-sounding title. This is not a concert by any means. No one gets up to dance or yells out, play Thunder Road. Though he does do that one, and The Rising, and Born to Run. This show is bound to run as long as Springsteen wants it to. My guess is this will be the final extension. Doing a performance like this may sound easy at first, but I can't imagine McCartney, certainly not Dylan, or even Paul Simon getting up on a Broadway stage and sharing personal anecdotes that all mean something, making them sound fresh every night, and taking us on a journey with them. I have no idea who all the people are in the theater who managed to cough up the money to buy tickets. Oh, sure, Tom Hanks and all the big names show up, but mostly these are true fans who have followed this man from the boardwalk to Broadway. As for other theater news, the play I recently reviewed, M. Butterfly, was supposed to cut short. It's run by 6 weeks and play through mid-January. Well, it couldn't even go that far, and star Clive Owen, director Julie Taymor, and the money-losing producers brought down the curtain on Sunday. So, one more open theater for now. It's too bad there's only one Bruce Springsteen, Jill, because he could probably fill them all.
Well, I guess that's why they say there's no business like show business. But, you know, Bruce Springsteen is unique in that. I was thinking about it. It's like, no, Paul Simon's. And then that made me think of Cape Man. And it's a completely different thing. You know, that's not who Paul Simon is as a performer. It's yeah. Not who McCartney is as a performer. I mean, So I'm trying to think, but there's really only one Bruce in that.
Yeah, he's told his story basically through his songs, through his music, and then he wrote this big autobiography. So it does make sense. I can't think of anybody else either who could do this.
No, and you when we were talking about it last week, it was more in terms of a special event and whether there was a special event category rather than who else, you know, which other...
That's right.
Individual could fill those shoes, so to speak, or fill that theater. But when you...
Yeah.
If you have a long enough memory, you can hark back to when Born to Run was first released and the publicity that came out with it as the olds were trying to figure out who this guy was and what the heck.
That's right. I remember when he came out about the same time, I want to say, as Joel, who's the other guy from New Jersey. My mind is
blank. Oh, you think of Jon Bon Jovi?
No, yes, that's one of them, you know, the writer. But anyway, I'll get it in a minute. But
okay.
But Springsteen, you know, we weren't sure. You're absolutely right. Was he a folk singer? What was he? And then he was on the cover of Time and Newsweek, I believe, in the same week.
Pretty much, and Rolling Stone. It was during the summer, I think, of 75, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And that's when we all sort of woke up and thought, okay, I guess he's for real. But it did take a while. You're right. He was a different voice, a great raspy voice. Really, it was his concerts. Once he started performing, as good as his records were, I don't think anybody's ever been a better concert performer or loves it as much as he seems to. The other thing I love about Springsteen is anytime you'll see Hall of Fame concerts, or I saw him in many anti-nuclear concerts, anything that had that was about something. He was always there and always supporting other artists. He just seems to love being on stage. And here he is doing it, and but in a very, very different show. And I don't even know if they did put it up for a Tony. I don't even know what category it would go in. Drama? Musical? It's sort of half and half, to be honest.
So a quick, you're absolutely right, and I've mentally wandered off because we're the end of let's just say a fairly dull fall season. And yeah. I'm wondering two things. What do you think is going to the tourists? You know, it's holiday time. What theaters? You know, what shows are people going to go see?
Well, they're seeing pretty much almost every theater is filled, but so are the lines to get half-price tickets, because almost everything's half-price tickets, except for the big shows. The ones they're still seeing are Come From Away, Evan Hansen. Springsteen is a different category. Either you got tickets for that. And the same thing with Hamilton. They're really in different categories. But I would say of the newer shows, Come From Away and Evan Hansen are still the ones people are most anxious to see. Otherwise, boy, when I went to that half-price ticket line, just about everything was up there, except for those, and of course The Lion King and Wicked. You know, the whole new generation is seeing those same shows. But it's slim pickings, I have to say, right now, for Billy Joel. That's the one I was thinking of. The other one who came from New Jersey.
Long Island.
That's right, he's Long Island. But they came about the same time. They emerged to the music world.
Yes,
and
that is true.
And Beatles, the Stones and Beatles sing, like, do you like Billy Joel or you like Springsteen? And there were those who liked both, by the way. But I think Springsteen turned out to be the real thing. Anyway, it's Christmas time, and yeah, I guess people are going to the theater. I'll tell you, they're pretty much all filled when you walk in.
Yeah, and Billy Joel, you know, he was out and he was playing around. He was scrabbling. But when Born to Run came out, which was 1975, Billy Joel's big out. When I say big, he was absolutely prolific. But the album that was his that brought him that attention was The Stranger, and that was 77.
Right.
But by then, you know, Springsteen was definitely part. This is not to imply that there's any such thing as an overnight success, because again, they were all out there playing clubs and doing the work. And absolutely. Boys and girls, you got to go out and play the clubs and do the work and
play the bar mitzvahs. By the way,
that's it.
Springsteen says he did plenty of bar mitzvahs.
Oh yeah, you know, it doesn't just happen. I mean, yes, you can record yourself and put it out there and be a YouTube star, but we're talking about a completely different story here.
I'm not a huge Billy Joel fan, but he's somebody who maybe could have done a show like this. But I don't know if you remember when Twyla Tharp did a show on Billy Joel music, and that was fabulous. It was all his music, and it was her answers, and that really worked.
Well, Billy Joel's been selling out Madison Square Garden for individual concerts for the last couple of years. You know, there are four or five of them a year.
Even in the Hollywood Bowl, he sells them a year in advance.
Yeah, so it's not a... And that is someone who has, you can safely say now, has been doing it for, gets the same amount of attention when he walks out on stage.
And these guys are 68 years old, you know, and I give them a lot of credit, and Bruce looks damn good.
I'm going to start again by saying there's no business like show business.
There you go.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio. RobinHoodRadio.com.